this morning, Lord. Lord, we look to your word. Lord, the proven, Lord, the truth, the good news this morning, Lord, with all the bad news out there, Lord. Father, you are the light in the darkness. Father, you're the one that has set the captives free this morning, Lord. Father, you have freed us from a life of destruction, Lord. So, Father, this morning, Lord, we come to you, Lord, looking to your word. Father, I'm asking, Lord, that not only the good news this morning, Lord, would give us a greater hope for the future, Lord, but Father, that you would equip us right now, today, for the rest of our lives, Lord, and Lord, to equip us to have not only faith, Lord, but great faith. So we look to you this morning, Lord, that you would, Lord, you would increase our learning. Father, you've said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Lord, we need your wisdom. Lord, I need your help this morning. Lord, anything outside of what you want me to share, Lord, Father, Lord, may you completely remove it from anything that's in my mind that would hinder your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that I am able to do this? This morning, if you would, I'm gonna get you to go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 that we are saved by grace through faith. The greatest miracle that's ever taken place is when, I can only speak for myself, but I swear it would be a testimony here, is then when we get saved, how we completely changed. I mean, we can do all the programs, we can go to any type of meeting, but once we receive God as Lord and Savior, it completely changes everything. As a matter of fact, Clarence, you're in Romans chapter 12. I want to go back to, Genesis chapter 12. Let's go back to Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9. I feel like our faith is absolutely necessary. If we're a Christian, faith is a necessity. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. A very, very popular verse, that if you confess, that's an action, with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So simple of an action that God, our mouth and in our heart, all we have to do is believe. And think about before we were saved, think about the people that are around us that are not saved. As far lost as they are, whether it's our co-worker or the government or across the world, one simple verse changes everything. And yet somehow, I mean, for me, when I think about when we come to God and we ask him for a physical healing or we ask him for a financial need, that compared to eternity with him, we should expect something that simple. And it doesn't mean that we get it, but I do believe most of the time, whether it's through a doctor or in time, God does heal us. Now, our bodies do age, and we do pass this life into eternity, but, you know, who knows? I mean, he may take us away from here just like he did Enoch. I mean, how God chooses to allow us to leave this earth, that's up to him. We're to stay in faith until the day we die. We are to confess that we are healed. We're to confess our healing. Sometimes we do get so sidetracked of what's going on and what's going on around us, and I don't have to tell you, as a nation, when I think about our nation, I'll be honest, I don't look at any personality. I look at the platforms and I ask God to guide me. Anything else is irrelevant. We've had presidents in the past that were good and bad, and we're going to have presidents, good Lord willing, if he doesn't return, that are good and bad. I look at the platforms and I ask the Lord to guide me. The personality, I could really care less as far as, you know, God's going to use whether we like him or whether we don't. God is always moving and working in people's lives. So we get to thank God for that he's always working and moving. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Abram. His name is Abram at this point. And before I read this, it's you know, so many times it's like a backstory that I couldn't find much about Abram before this message. And I thought about that. I said, man, I said, you know, his father served a pagan god, and he certainly, so his father had no time for God at that point. He certainly was living in a pagan land, so he didn't have any type of godly influence. He didn't have a preacher. He didn't have a track. He didn't have a prayer meeting. He didn't have worship. He didn't have any of those things. So be mindful of that. Now, did he have a relationship with God? I think in our hearts as individuals, you know, God is always speaking. He spoke to Adam and Eve. He spoke to Cain. I mean, when God spoke to Cain, it wasn't out of the unnormal that he spoke to him. So it's possible that we can hear God, and he still killed his brother. God tried to talk him into a better way, a better offering, but he hardened his heart and he killed his brother. So there's a better way. So this morning, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Sometimes don't we want a roadmap to where we're going? We would like to know every little bend and turn. Pastor Rocky brought up Brother Peter last week. When God calls us, that doesn't mean we're going to step out on solid ground. But he walked on water. That's not solid ground, but he was to look to God. And the moment we get our eyes off of God, regardless, we're always going to fall because that's where it leads us to. From your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We are the seed of Abraham through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says there, I'm just going to read the first part of it. He says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And as I was thinking about him, get away from your country. Now, God doesn't call everybody to leave your country. He's not calling you to leave your wife or necessarily your job or wherever you're at. But anytime we take a journey somewhere, whether I leave here and go home, we're leaving something to go to somewhere else. And I think about young people, you know, in our culture, once you give your life to the Lord, you need to get away from that gang. You need, if you're in a good group, but they're putting pressure on you to do things, you need to get away from that group. So we're always going to be getting away from things. It doesn't mean we don't communicate with those people, but we can't hang around those people on a day in and day out basis and think that we're going to walk above what they're doing. And I thought about his identity as well. Our identity, just like what I do for a living, where I live at, his whole identity was caught up in where he was at, his family. I mean, everything about him in the natural was the land he was in. Yet when we choose God's path, we have to go above our normal circumstances, our normal thinking, and follow him to a place we might not be comfortable with. But by God's grace, he will always walk with us. When I changed jobs years ago, before I come back to where I am now, I stepped out in faith because of my background in a certain industry. So they wanted me for my knowledge of that background. So when I went and took the job, I could barely turn a computer on. And this is the God's honest truth. When I got to that job and I got two big screen televisions, and one of the first things they asked me to do was open up Excel. And I put my head down. I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And that's the God's truth. That's how illiterate, unaware of a computer. I didn't grow up with a computer. But over the course of time, I felt like the Lord for a season had led me there. And everything in life is seasonal. But through the course of time, I would leave that job every day and confess the victory was mine. I had my wife couldn't help me, my daughter. There was nobody at that time that could help me. So I stood and I asked God to raise up the people that I would at least be a light, that people would see. I wasn't never going to be the fastest on a computer, but I knew the industry that I was in. So I had to take that, even though I couldn't keep up with those guys on the computer. I said, well, I know something they don't, and I can learn what they can learn. You can't, what I know, you can look at it in a book, but you've got to put your hands to it to do it. Amen? So anyway, as the story goes, as he gets away from his family, and he moves on, you know, his wife, the Bible states before this, that she was already, went over to bear a child. So as you move forward, you know, God speaks to Abram, and he says, Okay? He says, he's 90 years old, and he tells him that he's going to be a father of many nations. And not only that, he says, if you can look out as many stars as you can see, he said, that's going to be your descendants right there. No, in the natural, that makes no sense. He's 90 years old. And, you know, could you imagine even back when he was leaving the land, he was already 75. And I don't know, most people get set in their ways by the time they're 30, much less 75 or 90. But the Bible says that he believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Clarence, I believe it was, Hebrews 11:8. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he received as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Not only did God tell him he was going to be a father of many nations, he changed his name at that point from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. So I think that's important this morning why he changed his name, because some of us in our upbringing were called maybe stupid or called names we shouldn't have been called. You know, sometimes we can be saying, well, you're going to be broke just like your family. You know, that's not what the Bible says. You know, we're all brought up in families, and none of our backgrounds and none of our families had it all right. Our responsibility is to do it better. My son's sitting here today. I hope he's a better father. I hope he's a better provider. I hope he does. That's my prayer. My daughter the same way. I pray they would take it up and above what I can do, because they have a little bit more knowledge at that age than I do. So that's my expectation. That's my hope. I'm expecting my grandkids. I walk by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm expecting my grandkids to give their life to the Lord at an early age and serve them the whole days of their life. You know, and quite honestly, I know my mom is long gone from here, and she wouldn't want to come back, but her prayers for my family are as live today as they were back in 2009 when she passed away. Those prayers don't fade into the memory. They're as relevant today as they were back then. So whether this morning you have a child that's addicted, regardless of the circumstances you're facing and your health problems, you know what? That doesn't make a difference, because God is greater. For me personally, I hate to come in and say, how great is our God, and walk out and confessing the same old problem, the same old negative attitude, and expecting God to change the circumstances. He's not going to do that. Now, he says we walk by faith. So what are you believing? Do you believe he's able to change your situation? And you know something, even if he doesn't, he'll give us a new heart to handle it. So that's important to remember. So Abraham's name is changed. So every time he speaks his name, he's saying father of many nations. Every time one of his friends, they said, hey, Abram, he said, no, I'm Abraham, father of many nations. So this morning, we're confessing that we are blessed. We are favored. God is restoring health into our bodies. He is meeting all of our needs according to his riches and glories. That's what he wants to hear from us. God sets the rules, not us. You know, the devil, I think about how he does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your government, he never changes his way. He's so simple, and look at the ground that we give him, because we don't say and do the right things. And you know, as a Christian, we're always going to fail at times, but that's what grace and repentance is about. He gives us, I mess up today, I'll go to that person, or whatever I need to do. Sometimes in the marriage, it's not quite as easy, let's be honest. You know how family can be. Family can be very difficult. So that being said, we'll move on over to, and you could imagine Abraham's wife, Sarah, when he changed her name became princess. So here we got the father of many nations and princess. So when Abraham, go over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Amen. I laugh at this Bible here because a lot of the books aren't in it, and I brought it in this morning. And I said, well, is the book of Romans in here? That's a good question. But it is. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I wrote these down this morning, going back to going back to Genesis very briefly, about God speaking to people. And I wrote these down. Moses is confronted by a burning bush. 40 years, he's in the wilderness, and he's confronted by a burning bush. He didn't start the fire, but God revealed himself and used Moses mightily. Samuel was a little boy, and he heard God's voice at night in his bed. God meets a teenage girl named Mary and tells her she is favored and she will have the Lord and Savior. James and John are fishing, regular old fisher guys, and Jesus shows up on the scene and tells them to drop their nets and become fisher of men. Zacchaeus is sitting in a tree. Paul, one of the most righteous, smartest, brightest people in the New Testament, but also, if you want to read about faith, there's not a better person in the New Testament to look to faith. He's on the road to Damascus. But God hasn't changed his ways. Just as he's intervened 2,000 years ago with all them guys, he's intervening in our lives. Aren't you glad that he's still setting sinners free today? Romans chapter 4. Verse 19. This morning, before I get into this, because this is, I only have 3 points here this morning. But this is very important, because Brother Mark was talking about healing this morning. We come to the Lord expecting us to heal, because he is healer. And think about that. When we sit here and we go to the doctor, we get a bad report, we don't discount what the doctors and people tell us. But we have a miracle-working God, and he is the final authority. And God just wants us to stand on his words. I mean, we've had many a testimony in this church over the years where God has done something miraculous. And some people, he just brought home. That was their healing. But we have to look to the Lord when it comes to this. So Romans chapter 4, verse 19. He's speaking about Abraham here. Clarence, I don't have verse 18, but I'm going to back up to 18. So Abraham, at this point, he's going to become the father of many nations. It says, verse 18 says, who contrary to hope. See, people would tell him that's impossible. His friends will say that's not possible. You could imagine the critics. Just like when we're living for the Lord, we got plenty of those critics. And if we don't have critics in our life, then our life must be more similar to the world than it is living a life of the Lord. Who contrary to hope, and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, although dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider. Why wasn't he weak? Because he didn't consider. It wasn't the fact that Abraham didn't have the thoughts and doubts in his mind, but what his actions and what he spoke were completely different. Because the enemy's going to put those things in our head. We're human. And he's going to throw those fiery darts, as the Bible says, in our mind. But we're to confess what God says about that situation. I think about when you're going back to people saying, and I share some details on a Wednesday night, and I won't give much details here, but I can remember for years, and I was never this crazy wild, spent a fortune on drinking and that type of stuff, but I did spend money that wasn't pleasing to God. And I have the Lord as my witness. He knows my heart, and Darlene can tell you as well. I did those things that the enemy has taken from me. I don't care if it was a popsicle, I want it back. I'm redeemed, God restores. The enemy stole it from me, so I want it back. So I think about the years that I would go out and I did the drinking thing and all that kind of stuff. I confessed over and over in my mind that I wanted that money back. And I got that money back. And I'll say I got that money back. I didn't get it back 100-fold, but I can guarantee you I got that money back. Now, God will always use people. So how I get it back, or who it can come from the most evilest person in the world, I want what the enemy is taking back from me. He has no right, no authority other than what we give him. Now, we may not see it, but that may open the door for somebody in our family down the road to receive it. So let's stand on what God has to say. The important thing is here is he did not consider his weak. He considered what God said. He didn't care about the naysayers. He cared about none of that. I could imagine what people are saying. It goes back to like Noah building an ark when there was no water. People will always mock us as Christians when we stand for truth and justice. That's just the world system. We should expect that because the Bible says once we get saved, we're no longer a part of this world. So we shouldn't expect any difference. We were once in the people a lot of times, and I don't mean just disrespectfully, sometimes the very people that Christians put down, we were the same people. They need God just like we do. We need the Lord and Savior. Abraham right here could have come across though negative. And that is natural. Some of us are, you know, a little more geared to be more positive and in faith believing. Some of us a little, we all have to overcome the negative, speaking negative things. If the Bible tells us to speak life, then we speak life. It's not optional. Like I said, it doesn't make, we do acknowledge the sickness and disease and all of them things, but at the end, we are to confess what God says. The 700 plus promises that he has promised us, where it's what we are to stand on. So my first point there, Clarence, would be, first, you just have to believe. Once again, what Rocky said, do you believe that I am able to do? You have to believe. The Bible said just because he believed, just like when we confess the Lord Jesus, we believe. It opens up the door for every blessing that's in this book when we do that. Point number two, Clarence, never waver. Never waver. Romans 4, verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. The Bible says, some translations say staggered, said he did not waver. So if you go back, he didn't waver because he didn't consider. He considered what God said about his situation. And I think about how when we're in that season and we're in that trial, you know, think about Jesus as he's baptized and immediately he's taken into the wilderness. I mean, immediately. So going back to Abram, when he left his father's house, he goes right into, where he was raised at and goes to follow the Lord, he went right into a famine. Now, that's not always the case. But when we're going to follow the Lord, we should expect those things. That, you know, when the quick storms, when they were in the boat and that quick storm comes up, those storms are going to come. We shouldn't be caught off guard at a negative report or something bad. We should know those things are going to happen. We're prepared. We have an answer for those. We have an anchor for our soul how to respond. It doesn't mean we like it. It doesn't mean we don't rejoice. It doesn't mean we don't cry, get upset or sad. But we have faith that goes beyond. The Bible says, once again, we walk by faith. So we know that God is working. We may not like it. We may not understand it. But we know how much God loves us and how good he is to us. So that's what we focus on. And we want to surround ourselves with that kind of people. You know, you may have to work in an environment of negativity. You know, wherever we're at, we're called to shine for that season. And I know some of us, you know, some of us have a much more hectic lifestyle than others. But that doesn't mean that in the most frustrating day when something is going as bad as this, that you can just, at your very worst part of that day, just stop for 1 second and say, Lord, I thank you for my job. I don't like what's taking place here. I don't like the people that are, what they're talking about around me. I just thank you for a job because it's a privilege to be a blessing and give to the house of God. It's a privilege. First thing we do is we have to believe. The second thing is we can't waver. We can't consider what the enemy's trying to tell us. We won't waver moving forward. It's funny how, you know, we just taken for thinking about our diets. You know, we can feed our bodies good things or we can feed our bodies bad things. And it's the same thing with our faith. If we're feeding on the wrong thing, and the naysayers and negative and all that, God certainly will not move. Now, It doesn't mean we're not saved, but we're not going to receive some blessings as if we're feeding it the right thing, feeding it the Word of God, prayer, surrounding ourselves with godly people. That's the most important thing that we can do. So you got to believe, never waver. And for me, this is really important as a Christian, is we have to keep growing. And Clarence, I'm going to ask you to pull up. I like this verse. It's Romans 7:19. And I asked Clarence to pull this up in the New Living Translation. You know, when we think about coming to the God and we got a hope, you know, that's not wishful thinking. That's faith. He wants us to get our hopes up. He wants us to walk in divine health, and He wants us to overcome the situations and our economic hardships. There's no limits to God. You know, He wants to bless us, but He wants to get the glory. It's not about us. It's about what He's doing. Moving some funds from point A to point B, that's nothing to God. I mean, He owns it all. We lose it all when we leave here anyway, and He owns it all. So we might as well advance His kingdom here while we have a chance. I think about just the praise and worship team, the sound booth guys, the teachers. I mean, anytime we're advancing the King of God, you know, the Bible says we never should grow weary in doing good, because we're going to reap a harvest. God is going to do something good in us, for us, and through us, that's going to draw people to the kingdom of God. And, you know, and certainly my heart goes out to, I mean, I've had family members for years, directly related and down the line, that aren't serving God. But I stand on the fact that when God does draw them, that He's bringing people with Him. That's His goal. He just doesn't want to bring them. He wants to bring people in them, just like the man in the pig pen. One of these days, we just keep confessing that child, that situation is going to change. God is going to, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, God's going to honor that request. Now, they have a will, but just like ours, God can break that will. Romans chapter 7, verse 19. This is just keep growing. And what I like about this verse is, this is Brother Paul. There's not a stronger person of faith in the Bible. Certainly nobody faced more trials, temptations. Intellectually, nobody any smarter. But I love this in the New Living Translation. It says, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Isn't that true, though? Great faith always going to have its trials, regardless of whether it's the most powerful, strongest people in the Bible or it's me and you. If we're going to have great faith, we're going to have trials, and we need to be prepared and expected, but also knowing that God is going to see us through it. But once again, our language, what we're feeding on, greatly determines that outcome. I think it's a proven fact. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe with the mouth that He is, and that is He is a rewarder of those who diligently or sincerely seek Him. When we seek God, He answers. He is going to change the circumstances. He's going to change us in the process as well. But God's will, whether we believe it or not, God's will is going to be done. We don't have to see it. You know, if you look at Abraham, and you're calling him the father of many nations, he didn't see it. Nobody around him saw it. None of those things. But you can believe it or you can't believe it. And he chose to believe God. And look right now. Look at the blessings that we're receiving around the world from one man of faith. And he says, every blessing. I mean, so that includes right now, right where we're at today. So we need to receive that. So last night I was watching football. My team went down last night, but they played a good game. So I was thinking just about, I shared this with Brother Mark. My father worked at a plant, and years ago, his favorite football coach was Paul Bear Bryant, the coach of Alabama. And I didn't know this about him. I was traveling about a month ago, and they had all the ball players talking because he used Scripture. Now, I'll say he used Scripture. He didn't talk about Jesus to them, but all his practices on the football field, you know, that every second, every technique mattered. And when a football play, the average football play can last 3 to 6 seconds. And all you got to do, That guy can be way better than you, but you just got to be better than 3 to 6 seconds. He can be more skilled. You only need 3 to 6 seconds. And he used that to motivate his players. And one of the best players he ever had, who I think he went on to play for the Miami Dolphins, he decided he wasn't going to practice as hard. And so he decided that, you know, he was going to take a few days off. Well, Paul Bear Bryant called him into his office, and he explained to him about these kids that were nowhere near as good as him. He said, but they're outworking you. He says, so you're no longer part of the team. And he laughed. He said, no. He says, you're no longer part of the team. He said, you go on. He says, you go on. So he received a phone call a little bit later on. And this guy here, his father had the same identical name. So he wanted to talk to this child's father. So when this young man shows up, he says, what are you doing here? And he says, well, he says, I called and left a message. He said, well, I thought it was your father. He said, but since you're here, he says, come on in. He said, I'll talk to you. And this is this guy telling the story. And they talk and everything, and he just explains that. And he says, now you got two options, and I'm going to use the exact words that he used. He says, you can grow up and be a man and become a part of this team, or you can walk out here with a selfish punk that you are. That guy went on to be one of the best NFL linemen that's ever taken place. See, he wasn't being critical. It's a team, just like the church. We're a team. We have our different backgrounds. We can have our different beliefs how we're going to go out of here. But we have one Savior, and we can all focus on that. And our focus should be the people that are around us. We should have an influence. Leadership is influence, and we should have influence on the people that are around us. And when we get it wrong, we apologize and we say we're sorry and we move on. You have to believe, you never waver, and you keep growing. This morning, I know that we probably have a lot of people here who need physical healing. We have people that need financial needs that need to be met. We have lost family members that are so desperately need to be saved. And matter of fact, the more we pray for them, they probably, some of us could testify, the worse they're getting. But you know something? God has the answer this morning. So before I go to the Lord in prayer this morning, I would want you to just in your own heart and your mind, think about the things. You know, confession about how the enemy restored. You know, I was brought up, and when I bought my first house, you know, I'd been in it for 8 or 9 years, and luckily I knew a lady at the bank. She says, you know, I can put you in a mortgage that's in a 10-year mortgage cheaper than this one you're in right now. And I was ignorant, unaware, just like I am still of so many things in this book right here. But day by day, step by step, I'm getting closer. And that's what our walk should be. Every day, step by step, and day by day, we get a little better. But the wisdom she gave me that day, you know, changed the course of what I thought about finances. You know, I had shared with my son as a teenager, and my daughter as well. Just there's some books out there by Larry Burkett. There's great books out there now by Dave Ramsey and Dan Celia. Get the financial information. But God knows we need a car. Maybe this morning you're in a car payment you don't want to be in. Well, call that car paid for. Call that mortgage paid for. Speak those things which are not as though they were. So it's just not about finances. That's biblical to do that. I've put myself in bad situations in my life. But it's time to speak what God says, and God will help us get out of that. So I can say that one simple action, somebody sharing with me financial wisdom, how that changed the course of my life. So and greatly put me in a much better situation than when I went to build another house 11 years ago. And by God's grace, this is not, I have such an amazing family. In-laws, mommy, poppy, if you're watching. God wants to bless us. And he will use somebody, somehow, some way to bless you. My home, praise God, is paid for. 10 years, paid for. 9 years, paid for. That's nothing of me. That's God's favor and blessing in my life. And this morning, if you want to come to the altar this morning, Brother Mark, if you want healing in your body, or you want to stand in the gap for somebody in your family, let's take advantage of it. Believe right now. Don't waver in your belief. Let's come up here to the altar and let's pray and receive what God wants for you and your family.